Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
BoxingBoys.com.
What broke him down? Was it
just the body punching?
I was hitting him with body punching. I heard him actually crying in there. You're saying that Big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen? And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingBoys.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, but I knew you were cuffing and taking those punches.
Beyonce Productions.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We got another spontaneous, it's the flagship again. Even though it feels like it should be a spontaneous show with the news not being, I guess, overwhelming. No big fights to talk about this week and no crow to really serve you guys, man. So we had to scrape up some headlines and get at least the most important news out there to discuss. And even though it's feeling like a pancake, it's flipping and flopping. Canelo Alvarez, Gennady Golovkin seems to be back on. Now, I'm excited for that. You know that we will be part of that live, the live festivities if this fight is able to get finalized. But waiting in the wind is Spike O'Sullivan, who recently said he believes that the fight is back on and he will face the winner. So we are looking for your thoughts on that. Is this just Golden Boy, Eric Gomez, and, you know, Oscar De La Hoya keeping Spike happy, keeping him idle? Doesn't mean that the opportunity won't come, but it hasn't manifested yet. Speaking of things to come, Broner Vargas seems to be allegedly in talks and potentially close for an instant rematch. The first one was a good fight. Al Bernstein, very public, feeling that Broner lost that fight. So a lot of people kind of on both sides of the fence. So I think an Adrian Broner, Jesse Vargas rematch immediately is a good thing. Where else does Broner go? Especially with leaving the taste of a draw in our mouth. Now, Dillian White and Kerbret Pulev are looking like they might come to some sort of agreement, end up fighting. We've heard rumors about DAZN picking up this fight. We've heard rumors about DAZN just being able to pick up fights and not necessarily have to sign fighters, one-offs, kind of buying the best fights out there, similar to how HBO used to do, just buy the fight and not the fighter. Maybe this is a route that Eddie Hearn could take. We'll give you more details since they've been emerging, obviously, throughout this week. But a lot of juicy names involved in these Eddie Hearn negotiations. Mikey Garcia, as you know, has been a runner-up in the name, name-calling now for a while between Eddie Hearns. He thinks he can make him a big star. He's gone on record saying that Mikey said he needs a promoter. And then we obviously have Jermell and Jamal Charlo, who have heard offers from Bob Arum, but now Eddie's come out with some new information looking for a possible meeting with Jermell after his fight. We'll bring you those details, of course. Let's head on out to the Golden State, get this thing started. We got half a panel, almost fully packed, right? Let's get it going.
Dalla DiBiase Production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck that. Conor McGregor.
BoxingBoys.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knock out. When the main thing is, I just know the guy. I wish.
BoxingBoys.com.
Call me. Hipsters here, haters beware. I'm sorry about that little echo. That is shout out to YouTube. Just shout out to YouTube. You know how YouTube be. But we're here. It's a flagship show for a week that had nothing, absolutely nothing on it. I'm just going to say absolutely. There's a Ring TV card and a BN Sports card, but I didn't watch them. I know. You take my hipster card away. I'm sorry. But I didn't watch them. But we do have some news. Canelo Triple G is apparently back on in terms of negotiations. I said this, I think, on Thursday when we talked about the fight being off, is that it's just part of the negotiation process. How many times are you here? Oh, we're done. We're going to go talk to other parties with super fights. We hear it all the time, and yet we still get the big fights after weeks and weeks and weeks of dragged out negotiations. Can't wait to chop up that topic. Dylan White versus Luis Ortiz also on the docket. Love that matchup. Joseph Parker versus Brian Jennings. I know we discussed that on Thursday, but I want to delve a little more into that just because it seems like the top of the welterweight division is seemingly getting figured out. So just looking at it more from a bigger picture standpoint, but glad to be here. Chop it up with you guys. Call in 1-425-569-5241 or add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. Hit that like button. Let's go.
Pretty sure you meant heavyweight division.
Dollar D, BNC Productions.
BJ was going to beat me, didn't you? You predict he's going to beat me. He got smashed.
Why isn't Wilder sold out 90,000? This guy has been pro for like 8 years, 9 years. If Wilder wants some of his work, he can definitely get it on ASAP.
BoxingWiz.com.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. Yeah, like they said, some of this news it seems to be like kind of going around in circles, but you know, there's little updates here and there. So, can't wait to talk about it all. You know, just put my thoughts out there into the universe like semen. So, let's chop it up and talk about it.
Really? Really? Cop the mountain in there?
Just to get this one going on the right, you know, foot. AJ sure does take a long time for ASAP.
Yo, I like how that's what you meant by on the right foot. And I wasn't expecting that, but I should have expected that. Right? I should have expected that, Rob.
It's just like every time we hear that intro, it's like, Wilder wants some of this work. You get it ASAP. And it's like we're almost going on 3 years since that interview.
I know, right? You think he would have accepted the offer by now, right?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, for some of us, like, I'm a victim of that. I'm guilty of that, right? I could be accused of saying, oh, these negotiations haven't drawn out the way Mayweather-Pacquiao have. Maybe they have. Maybe they have. Maybe they weren't official negotiations, you know, but, you know, the messages, the interviews, they all count because that intro is getting old.
It was old when I got it.
Boy, that's the point. It's like, whoa, I mean, ASAP takes forever in the UK.
But yeah, let's be honest, though. I mean, AJ's gonna get his. We know we're Team Wilder. Don't worry, Ness. You know.
Please believe your demise will be televised.
It'll be televised.
What does ASAP mean in America? Because it means as slow as possible in the UK.
Oh no! Over here it means as soon as possible.
But, oh, is it? Oh, my bad.
Well, hopefully we get something as soon as possible when it comes to Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin. I'm actually happy to be reporting that. You know, these conversations have shifted to this, even though we gave our scenarios as to what could possibly take place if they do not finalize this deal. I'd much rather have them go immediately at one another so that we could stop talking negotiations, start talking actually who's going to win the fight. And I mean, you know, come away the middleweight king, so to speak. Definitely whoever wins has some Jamal problems, Jamal Charlo problems. My thing is, even though the WBC is pushing down on Gennady to take the date or face Jamal, I wonder if they actually have Gennady Golovkin, Canelo Alvarez too, will there be the same pressure or will these men be allowed to have a trilogy with all the belts still on the line?
I think any sanctioning body is going to push for the most money they can get, right? Like their 3% of a Canelo Triple G fight is drastically different than their 3% of a Triple G Devchenko fight. You know, Triple G Charlo fight. Like it is just astronomically different numbers we're talking about for that 3% for the sanctioning fee. So of course, I think the WBC and any sanctioning body are going to allow the biggest fight in the sport, the biggest money fight in the sport to continue to get made a third time as well. Like that should not be an issue in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think like you say, it comes out, negotiations fall apart. So we have to talk about it. But part of you thinks, is it really falling apart? Is this just more of the same, you know, saga that we're going to get? It seems with the big fights, you just get the big saga. It's broken down. It's back on.
Same saga. It's the same exact saga every time.
And it's not that we fall for it every time, but you can't just ignore it. You can't like, oh, it's broken down. Oh, we won't report on that. You know, you kind of have to, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking.
It gets draining every time there's a new headline. Oh, it's off. Do we report on it? Oh, it's on. Oh, Spike O'Sullivan said that. Oh, Daniel Jacobs tweeted, what's our thoughts on him versus Canelo and him facing it? It's just like, just give me a fight already.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, this morning, this whole Canelo Triple G thing has just been within the space, I don't know, like 10 hours. It went from Martin Murray putting out a video saying that Billy Joe Saunders has pulled out with injury. So he's done it again, which then led to something that Billy Joe had said about he would take the Triple G fight for the same offer as last time or a winner takes all offer. So it was then being reported that it's Triple G Saunders. That's on. And then it was like, no, it's not. And then I think Spike was thrown in there. And then by the time we come into the show, there's reports of it's all back on. They're talking again and we're going to get the fight. So obviously for TBV and Shivas, the link with Triple G, you know, it's all good. So fingers crossed on it. But like you say, all it seems lately is we talk about negotiations and talks about a fight getting made. Let's have some fights. Let's talk about fights and who we think is going to win. And
plus, this month was kind of a bad month for fights. Like May was not a stacked month for boxing fans. Just wasn't. Like, and that happened. Like boxing fans, like we are used to like an all year long season, so to speak. But we have off weekends. We have off months.
Definitely have lows.
Definitely. And this was one of those. Like it was just a lull, and we had all we had in the boxing sphere that was really driving interest was these two negotiation processes, which we all
They're draining us. They're draining us. Listen, coming from the chat, Mike Gross says, to be honest, the casual audience ain't talking about GGG versus Canelo. They're looking more at the Wilder versus Joshua. And mind you, it's Canelo versus GGG, Joshua versus Wilder. You know, I hear you. You're a GGG fan and a Wilder fan. I get it. You put who you like first.
I mean, yeah, I kind of agree that the main focus is the two heavyweights, Joshua Wilder there.
Pure numbers-wise, though, if I think hypothetically if both fights are U.S. pay-per-view this year, Triple G or Canelo Triple G is a bigger pay-per-view.
Yeah, they're known more than Wilder-Joshua as a duo. They have more highlight reels.
Like hip hop and pop culture podcasts talk about Canelo Triple G, the first fight when that was around.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe over here with people I talk to, I want to talk a bit of boxing and they know the AJs and.
Of course. You
know, yeah, but you're in the UK. I mean, you guys, you know.
Yeah. But I'm just. They don't quite come over like maybe I think. Wilder Joshua would there with boxing fans as well, but yeah, it's just getting a little tiresome with the whole negotiation chat and percentages and he deserves this, no he doesn't, and it's just going round and round.
Quickly though, Eric Cruz, son of God Cruz, saying Canelo Triple G Canelo 2 in September, let's go Chivas. Shout out to Eric Cruz in Super Chat, and then B Paul in the Super Chat saying don't start with me Cruz. Well, hashtag shots fired Super Chat champion. He's coming for that throne.
We need a super chat off between these two, and then I can come over for whatever fight you want.
Fingers. That's so funny, man. I hate that I didn't get to see Cruz at LA. Like, I seen him, and I don't even know if I went up to him or not, bro. It's sad. We were so busy. But thank you to everyone that continues to show us support and love. We appreciate it. Don't forget to head on over to patreon.com/ The Boxing Voice, where we've actually put out a poll today, and we're looking for some advice on some content for TBV, specifically Spontaneous Show. So head on over to patreon.com/ The Boxing Voice to participate in that poll and give us your opinion, both by voting and commenting.
Quickly, though, Eric Cruz in the Super Chat again saying, fall back, B. Pauly. Oh, damn.
Ugh.
Super Chat King is back.
Please believe your demise will be televised.
Don't step in that game, B. I'm just saying.
No, step in it. Step in it.
Please.
No, I don't even know. Like, poor Cruz is going to lose now because you used a
Oh, damn. Actually, the Emeritus champ came back. Andre Diakono saying, Super Chat champ, say what?
Yeah, I told you he was gonna lose. I tried to get it out before Andre dropped the super chat, but I knew he was gonna lose the minute you used that that dude's sample. It was
hold up. B Paulie coming back with the right hook, bruh, and doubling Andre's super chat.
Oh. Holy shit, we got a Drake versus that other dude happening right now.
That happened, dude.
Oh, hilarious.
Who's going to push her up this next one?
Oh, that was a good one, Rob. That was a good pun. There you go.
So, Broner Vargas, man. Where'd the first one take place? This was Barclays, right?
I believe so, yeah. Oh, was it? Yeah, it was Barclays.
I wonder, do they think because the rematch is... I don't know. Are the fans clamoring or axing for this match, or is this the networks?
It's the networks, man. They see it does good numbers. And if you're Broner or Vargas, like, what's the next fight for you?
No, but if you're a fan, Matt, what do you want Broner or Vargas? Do you really want them to move on without settling the score?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I'm good.
Really? It was boring to you, the fight?
It's just one that I don't need to see again, if that makes sense. Like, there's other matchups with either of those guys in the welterweight division that intrigue me more. Like a Jesse versus Danny Lamont.
Garcia. I would say Danny Garcia versus Broner, but that's the thing. Do you give Broner an opportunity at a Garcia big fight? Does it sell the same if he can't erase this draw?
You know what you do with Broner? You give him another Ashley Theophane, Ali Bikurdiev. You give him one of those guys, and you see if Danny loses that Sean Porter fight. And then that's what you potentially do. But you give Broner, you give him a win. Give Broner an easy win because Broner's a star. He is. Whatever we think about Broner, he does numbers.
Wait a minute.
I'm talking as a promoter, not as a consumer. As a consumer, I want Broner to go down to 140.
Porter Garcia, is that official? Because I did see Danny in the camp talking about, oh, this is what y'all don't get to see, blood, sweat, and tears. But I haven't heard anything from the Porters. Like,
they went to the WBC and said, we've agreed to a deal. We don't need a purse bid, remember? Because we were... midnight before the purse bid, they agreed to.
But nothing has been made official. We don't have a fight. We have a date. We don't have a venue.
We have a date. It's August 25th.
Was it a rumored date? How do we have a date when that was a rumored date?
You can say it's rumored, but we did get a date from the report from Dan Rayfield. It was August 25th. And
Kaz in the chat has beat the $20 with one more extra cent. Kaz, your royal highness of the chat.
Ah, that's hilarious. I like the way he played it off with that one penny more.
That's awesome.
Shit, I had said something there. Oh, I was going to vibe off for you, Rob. You said the ESPN report. And I wanted to discuss that Keith Thurman, just kind of segue into that, because, you know, Keith Broner, all those guys, the same subject. But yeah,
Keith took down that report, actually.
And that's exactly what I want to bring up. ESPN retraction, or I mean, like, what are your theories? Was this a editorial retraction due to a bad source, or was this, I don't know, Keith really not coming back?
Well, but the second thing you said about Keith not coming back, you mean like retirement? Is that what you mean by that? Just very quickly, just so you clarify that point.
No, just coming back.
Okay. I think it was just probably not a bad source, but maybe faulty information that maybe like a Dan Birmingham or somebody in the camp went and told Dan Rayfield, like, hey, that's not true. We're not coming back that soon. Like, that's probably
that original Keith report. I don't think that original Keith report was a Dan Rayfield story, was it?
I believe it was. It was an ESPN report, and that's Dan Rayfield. So
I don't know, man. They got a lot of guys over there.
They are hiring new guys. You are right. They are hiring new guys.
Dude, I've read a few articles. Some dude named Nick Parson or something like that.
B Paul in the super chat saying a hashtag petty Pendergrass. I don't know what Pendergrass means, but
no, but that has to be like a phrase, right? Petty Pendergrass has got to be like being petty by going up, you know.
Sure. I don't know the saying,
but you have to say the truth is he's basically saying if Kaz wants to be petty and go up 1 cent, I can go up also.
And he went by 4 cents. He beat
by 4 cents. So he's just showing like I could play the petty Pendergrass as well.
You know? Okay. I see it now. I see it. But digressing.
Like you can't beat me. 4 cents. I got you. But all right. So buy, sell Jesse Vargas. Do you want it? Are you advising the camps to listen to this? Because he's in camp. I seen him in there. You know, everyone's using Kevin Cunningham. And I'm saying everyone, even though we all know that that is Broner Circle, that whole, you know, Robert Easter, Gervonta Davis, Adrian Broner. Next, we'll see Rashee Warren in there. And who else could we possibly see? I don't know. Montana Love. Oh, he was there already.
And then he's got kicked out.
You know, so, yeah. So what do you want to do with this? Don't tell you're advising the people that the powers that be that listen to this show on their commute to their Golden Boy offices, Top Rank offices, Heyman Boxing offices. Is Matthew official statement? Move on.
Yes, and bill me for that, please, Heyman. I want to bill for that. Invoice me. there's no point.
No, you got to send him an IG invoice like Drake did.
Yes, please do it. there's no point for this, like for this matchup. Like I think it did numbers because it's Adrian Broner, but it didn't like captivate the boxing audience. And if you look at the metrics for that fight, the prelims for that, which had I think Jamal Charlo and Gervonta Davis on it, they all did great numbers throughout. Like it was a pretty average in terms of like total viewership or peak viewership throughout the entire event. I don't think it's the right matchup. I think you throw Jesse in there with a Lamont. Get a winner of that to face the winner of Sean Porter, Danny, or Keith. Or
Jesse, you know, Lamont's a tough-ass fight, bro, for Jesse. Lamont is such a mover, you know.
I think it's easier.
And it's not the same level. Like, if you give Jesse Lamont, I think that Jesse could feel like...
I don't care. I understand what you're saying.
But you're Al Heyman, right?
Yes, so I'm...
offering Jesse now Lamont, he's probably like, yo, you think I lost? Because Broner and Lamont are not on the same.
I'm also going to give Broner a tune-up. Like, I'm giving Lamont another top 10 win or top 10 fighter because Jesse could bounce back after a Lamont win and be in a title shot easily. And that could sell in a way.
But who you giving Broner? Because Jesse could easily lose to Lamont. That's a tough fight. That's what I'm saying.
And then you throw Lamont back in there with the Keith. Perfect. Like, that's the thing with a Jesse-Lamont fight is that whoever wins that fight is a credible opponent in terms of competitiveness.
Okay, but who you giving to Broner?
You give Broner a tune-up. Like somebody, like I said, like a Ashley Theophane type. Like a Sammy Vasquez off of the layoff.
So again, if you're Jesse, you're looking at Al like, bro, you're giving me a tough fight, acting like I lost. You're putting me as a B-side, then you're giving Broner another easy fight, acting like he won.
I don't think Jesse's a B-side against Lamont. I think Jesse probably makes the bigger check, so to speak, in that fight. And again, if let's say I'm Heyman, I go to Jesse and be like, Jesse, most people thought you won that. That's why we're giving you another top 10 fighter. If you beat Lamont, you get Keith Thurman on the comeback. You get the winner of Sean versus Danny. You get somebody else. That's what I'm telling Jesse. I'm telling Adrian Broner, look, Broner.
He was supposed to get Keith Thurman if he beat Broner, which he, in his eyes, he did.
But he didn't. He got a draw. And that's what I'm going to tell Jesse if I'm Heyman. Like, you got a draw still. In the public record, you got a draw, so you need a win. You need a win.
How do you feel about Lamont? Like, if you're now Jesse Vargas' best friend, he's always come to you every time he gets his deals. He comes to you, he says, hey, Matt Heyman offered me Lamont Peterson coming off of the Broner draw. And I have it on good notice that Adrian Broner is going to get another Ashley Theophane kind of fight. Is Al treating me good, Rob? You're my buddy, man. You've been there all this time, bro.
Depends what the check is. Depends what the check is. If it's over a quarter million, I think he should be happy.
So you're saying you should be happy to lose if you're being paid to lose?
I don't think he's getting paid to lose. Jesse's the favorite. Jesse's the favorite against Lamont. What are we talking about here?
Why are you lying about Jesse being the favorite? I wish this was a more – popping week so we can ask the world if Jesse's the favorite versus Lamont. That is a 50-50 fight, brother.
I think Jesse's a favorite against Lamont.
Lamont has lost his fights by knockout, all right? Jesse ain't knocking nobody out.
But Jesse ain't getting knocked out.
Actually, Lamont has that one to Danny that isn't by knockout, right?
Yes, that's true. And that was controversial.
Exactly.
I mean, as far as Brian Vargas, I'm not sure I want to see it again, to be honest. I had Vargas winning it probably by a couple of rounds. Did it really captivate me? Probably not. Do I want to see it again? Probably not. But again, like you say, an opponent for Broner, I'm not sure. I just think he needs like a win and a decent like knockout or something just to, I don't know, go carry with those numbers, because I don't know, just great numbers, but he's not, I don't think, doing great things, to be honest, at the moment.
The thing is, I can't think of anybody at 140 he could soundly knock out.
No, I don't know. Well, you have to throw your hands to fucking knock someone out, don't you? Mm. He seems to leave him in his pocket a little bit. I don't know.
Any of you radio personalities think you want smoke? Call me Mr. Chimney. I want smoke.
The saddest part is that you always think in the back of your mind he has the power because of what he did to Porter in the 12th.
Yeah.
That's so overrated. It so is. Broner got right back up. He was completely okay.
You know, Zachary Ochoa put out an Instagram post the other day. The infamous, so that our casuals that may not know the prospect Golden Boy fighter, Zachary Ochoa from Brooklyn, who attended our New York City Appreciation Night back in March.
The third one. Yes, the third one.
The infamous picture that I'm speaking of with LeBron James and the other basketball player that I do not know, where LeBron's hands are extended, it's all over the internet. Can you give people a better verbal picture of that, since you do?
Yeah, I watched the game. When it was the first game of the NBA Finals this year, where J.R. Smith took the ball and ran, you know, basically the half court away from the hoop, and LeBron James was looking at him like, what the fuck are you doing? That meme was all over. It was the most popular one was JR going to the store and buying Henny and then coming back to the game. Great meme.
This is all going to come back around full circle, Rob. Check it out. So, Zachary Ochoa posted on Instagram, me, when someone that's never gotten in the ring tries to tell me throw the jab more. So, and I'm probably paraphrasing his caption, whatever, but you get it.
I see where you're going with this.
Exactly, because Matt talking about whatever he said that triggered this whole thing.
What did I say? That was Rob that is the one that made the joke about not throwing hands. That wasn't me. That was Rob that made the one-liner. Come on,
man. No. But I got on you because when I said that Broner has the power because of what he did, you said that is so overrated.
No. That knockdown of Porter is so overrated.
Yeah, you said that.
That's my point, though. Like, I would like to see you in the 12th round of a 3-minute per round fight and knock someone down on the level of fucking Porter. And then have the world tell you it's over fucking rated. You're crazy, bro. Sometimes you could be brutal. I'm just saying.
I'm definitely brutal. But again, he didn't hurt Porter. He knocked him down. Like, those are two different things. Like, hurting someone and knocking them down are two distinctly different things.
Doing it and not doing it.
Broner didn't throw a punch in the first 6 rounds, dog. Of course he had the energy to do that.
I get you.
Come on, you saw the fight.
Hey, I get you, man. I'm just saying, I could never call what he did overrated.
Yes. Well, Broner is overrated. He's not, though.
He's just an overachiever. Okay,
I would say an underachiever.
He's an overachiever because he was supposed to be best at 135. He's not supposed to have a career moving forward. We can see that now. He struggles with average 140 pounders, and he can't beat elite 147 pounders. He barely beat Paulie moving up. That was controversial. So what I'm saying is, his ceiling was at 35. He needed to be disciplined, make weight, not go on rap tours, not have fucking porn videos, not do threesomes, not be on World Star, be a fighter like Crawford, and he would have been multiple division in one division. He would have reigned in one. The Mexicans do it.
Ponce de Leon retired at 135.
I see what you're saying.
Plenty of people that stand. Fucking Juan Manuel Marquez didn't move up to 47 till the tail end of his career. Like, come on, man. You could be disciplined if you want. Or you could be out here eating Popeyes. You could be out here trying to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying? But look, it wasn't supposed to be about that. It's supposed to be about the rematch. You don't want it. He doesn't want it. I still want it.
Really? Why?
Because I don't like unfinished business. If Wilder and Joshua, if they fought identical, if all you did was crop out their faces and put them on these guys' body and put that fight, I would still want the rematch. Same thing with Canelo. The reason I want Canelo and Triple G. Unfinished business. Give me resolution.
For me, that's more about interest, though.
Exactly. I was going to say that exactly, that AJ Wilder or Canelo Triple G, like, those fights have supreme interest to me and the entire boxing world. Broner Vargas doesn't overall. That the consensus is that people weren't completely into that fight.
No, I get it. But you see, for me, again, I always got to remind people, I only watch this sport. So for me, it's like an unfinished love story.
I'm okay with them coming back and having a rematch later down the road. I don't want an instant rematch. I don't like that usually.
I kind of do, because I know that there's going to be some unfair shit going on. Like, Broner might get the big fight with Danny and Jesse gets a fucking Errol Spence fight. And it's like, yo, it's not fair.
I understand what you're saying. Like, you two guys meet, they got a draw. One says, I won it. The other one's saying, I won it. And, you know, maybe people say, well, do it again then. Let's see. But I just see a similar fight and, you know, going in, maybe another tight decision or even another fucking draw. I don't know. But yeah, maybe give them the opportunity to sort it out again. But I don't know. I'll probably watch it on highlights or something. I don't know.
So Joseph Parker, Brian Jennings, allegedly in talks. Taylor Barry, the son of Kevin Barry, posted on his Instagram recently that, you know, Parker will be making a Las Vegas return soon and they'll be getting back into camp. So I don't know how official the Jennings fight is, but I really like it. It shows something for Parker to come back on this level with a recognized name. Because, you know, you think about it and you got to say to yourself, Jennings has to be further in his career than a Gerald Washington, which is a guy that Wilder chose to come back versus. Jennings has to be further along in his career than a guy like the White Rhino, right, which is used often as a comeback. You know, even further along or, I guess I can't say. At least on the level of Eric Molina, right? Because I know Eric Molina hasn't done anything spectacular, but the in-ring experience of being with the two best heavyweights in the world, I don't know if that means something.
Along with Gerald Miller. I would say Brian Jennings has way more experience and has been at the higher level for a longer period of time than Gerald Miller.
He is, but I consider Miller more dangerous than
obviously, that's why I specified time in at the top. Like, Brian has been at the top of the division for much longer than a Joe Miller. That's the distinction. But yeah, you're right, Miller's a much tougher fight.
Yeah, so I mean, look, we called this, or at least I know I called this fight months ago. The minute Bob started to reveal that he had dealings with Joseph Parker and he signed Brian Jennings, that was the first thing. When we did the spontaneous show that he signed, that was my thing. Go back and listen to the playback. We would eventually get Jennings Ruiz and Jennings Parker. So if Jennings Parker's in the mix, I'm not mad at it. I expected it. I wonder, can Parker stop Jennings? I worry that he cannot. If he goes in there with Jennings and doesn't stop him, it can take away from, you know, I guess the luster of Joseph Parker. He already failed to Joshua in an attempt to outbox him. So if he can't beat Jennings, it's like, how do you even defeat Wilder? Like, no one will give you a shot. You will forever be that third tier heavyweight. And at this point, beltless, right?
Yes, he is beltless, obviously. Top Rank reported this maybe a few days ago, and it's going to be in August 26 or August 18 for an ESPN card, not ESPN Plus, at the Ocean Resort Casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
That's crazy.
They're trying to revive that shit.
I wonder if we should go to that, bro. Like, that's right here.
Me and you, or just you?
No, like me and you. We're a duo, bro. Like Batman and Robin.
You don't want Casper to come with you?
And the minute Robbie, you know, minute Robbie can haul him shake, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to cramp anyone's style and get between the duo. You know what I mean? Jeez, no one likes being third wheel. Shit. Well, listen,
you can be Batgirl.
You're already looking the part, man. I mean, if he's Robin and I'm Batman, you can always be Alfred.
Oh, oh, I knew that was coming.
No, Alfred is pretty kick ass.
Don't back out of it.
I'm not backing out of it. I'm a huge comic book fan, so I know that Alfred is super kick ass. He had military background. You know what I mean? Not only that, bro.
Yeah,
had the English accent. So yeah, it's over. You're Alfred.
Okay, Alfred it is.
Oh, God.
Using my sign belt on me. Jesus.
For a minute, I thought that was like probably your wife laughing and listening. I didn't know.
that was Ricky Gervais, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. That's got some his UK sound bites. Watch out.
I sent it to him.
Real Niger said Alfred is the granddad.
I am the granddad. I keep these boys out of trouble. I could see them getting into trouble. You know what they're like.
Yo, don't worry. When we make it big, we're going to make sure we get you a stylist. You know, if you want to go all black again, we just dye you out, B.
Oh, man.
So, even though salt and pepper's in. Salt and pepper's in. I got the
salt. Yeah, there's more salt than pepper. That's the trouble, though.
Hey, man.
But anyway, this fight.
Career out of it, all right? So you could be good. You just got to own it. Storm owned it.
Yeah, I mean, Matt always brings it up. Like, you're looking old, this, that, and the other. But he's the only one worried about it. I'm good. Don't worry about me.
Listen, bro, you know what they say. Fine with wine, or age like wine, something like that.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's not what they say. That's what I paraphrase.
Yeah, it's whatever it is, but yeah, this fight, I don't think Jennings is stopping Parker either. So
it's going all 12.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. I think
that's Parker. Bad, man. I mean, I don't know if
it could be a fun fight still, but it's going.
No, AJ Parker was not fun for 12.
Did you think
heavyweight fights going 12 are not fun?
Did you think Joseph Parker versus Andrew Ruiz was a fun fight?
No.
Oh, I like that.
We sign up to heavyweights to see knockouts. Like, that's why they attract casual fans, because you don't need to know their names to know that you're going to get an explosive fight.
I'm not a casual fan, so I don't need to be attracted to knockouts.
I mean, look back at Parker's career. He went 12 with Takam, didn't he? With Ruiz.
Oh, 12 with every
Fury.
Oh, my God. Wayne, you didn't get the reference, Wayne. Now I got to be all, you know, I got to fucking do a definition for guy code here. He's like, oh, Ness, Harlem Shake is 10 years old. Get your dance names up. Nah, bro. Like, all of them, because he's got to shake the ball and chain in order to travel. Like,
can I just floss it off?
But it's still an out.
Can you floss it off? That's what I'm saying. You see, that reference doesn't work. You can't floss your wife off of you.
It doesn't sound right either.
What?
Doesn't sound right. It's like,
yeah. Fucking yeah. Wayne's always on my heels, bro. Get off me, bro. Get off me. Anyway, so Joseph Parker, Brian Jennings. Matt, you wanted to bring this back up because I think we already all agreed we didn't mind the fight. So what made you bring this back into the topic box?
You didn't mind the fight, but you just said it's going 12. Well,
again, I didn't bring it back.
I mean, when we first originally brought it up, I didn't mind the fight. But now, you know, if he's going to go 12, I'm going to be pissed off.
You get your money's worth if you're going out there.
Ness, this is not a topic box. The last topic box, I believe, or the third topic box should be Dylan White versus Luis Ortiz.
Well, Dylan White is there, and it says Pulev and Ortiz, so I went with the Pulev pick.
Oh, okay. Well, obviously, you know, Dylan White and Kubrat Pulev are already done with the purse bid. Epic Entertainment won it. But Eddie Hearn is not coming out and saying that if the WBC makes a Dunn White versus Luis Ortiz eliminator for the primary mandatory over Dominic Brazil, they're going to leave the Kubrat Prula fight for the IBF, leave the IBF and go to the WBC and fight Luis Ortiz for the number one mandatory spot. Only if, of course, they elevate that winner above Dominic Brazil. So just that to me is newsworthy for sure, because I think Dunn White versus Luis Ortiz is a fantastic matchup that we all care about. Dunn White versus Kubrat Prula is just a good heavyweight fight.
Which, by the way, Eddie did say people were worrying this was going to be in Bulgaria. But Eddie's got a belief that if it is Pulev, that will still be in the US, that fight. Because I think because of who won the purse bid.
And there are rumors about that, even though, not to cut you off, but I know obviously because the thought was that Pulev's side or adjacent side, even though it wasn't Sonderlin, won it, that it was going to be in Bulgaria. But a lot of the rumors are about a New York fight, basically, like a Barclays fight.
Yeah.
So that's what most likely would be. And same with Dunn White versus Luis Ortiz. That most likely to me is in the Barclays as well.
I would say maybe. But I know currently they're trying to appeal the order from the WBC making Brazil the number one mandatory. And I think Ortiz has got some level of mandatory state. I don't know. But it's all really... I don't know. We'll have to see how it pans out. But at the moment...
I would much rather love... Because we all know Pulev might go 7 weeks and then pull out. That's what he does, you know.
And plus, there's no build up really with a Pulev fight. Even though like Ortiz isn't like the greatest like shit talker, but there's more of a build up with that because we know Luis Ortiz is on US TV more.
And we know what Lewis did to Wilder.
True.
And we know what Chisora did to Dillian White. We know that Dillian White brings a certain level of vulnerability that makes that fight very intriguing. He also likes to stand and fight, right? So he can possibly do something. We'll see. We'll see where his power is on the elite status as well, you know?
Like a Dunn White Luis Ortiz matchup seems like an almost instant classic. Like it, to me, that would be a brawl. Like similar to like the Chisora fight, but I think it would be much cleaner, much more efficient, much more technical because you have Luis Ortiz on that other side and not Derek Chisora.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good, real good fight, to be honest.
Technical? What the hell? Is that what you said, or did I have like?
Yes, Luis Ortiz is a technical boxer. I think Dillian White is much more technical than a Pulev or a Takam or anyone else in that sort of range. Jerome Miller, I think Dillian White's much more technical than those guys.
Yeah. I think he's improved a lot. I think he's become a lot.
Look at his jab.
More refined. Yeah, I think he's really honing his skills lately. But I just think it'd be a good fight. Ortiz, I think, be a good test. But we'll see what happens with this panning out, whether we get the Pulev fight or how it pans out with the appeal for the WBC and their mandatory decisions. I just don't get it. You know,
Dillian White is appealing?
He's appealing to Dominic Brazil. Mandatory and that framing of it. He's not appealing the Pulev purse bid.
Yeah, I mean, I would appeal that shit too. Why not fucking do an eliminator? Like, who Brazil beat to get that spot?
No one, man.
No, I just got kind of give it. I don't know. I don't know how it works. You build yourself up to number one spot.
He beat Eric Molina, I think.
That spot because Ortiz lost, so he's got to drop. So if anything, it should be like Brazil and White in an eliminator.
Yeah, but some reason, I don't know why that hasn't been on the table. Like, that hasn't been discussed as an option by any party, really. And I don't know why.
Because both sides are good enough B-sides, bro. You don't do two B-sides together, you know? When you got two good B-sides, you got to give them an A-side to, you know. White thing, the Brazil Wilder talks have been there, or the... which is Dillian White Wilder talks. But, yeah, man, I guess that's it. You got any other topics?
Gerald Miller recently went on Twitter and did another Eddie Hearn rant. Said that AJ, or A-Juice, or whatever he calls him,
G-string.
Yeah, whatever.
G-string or whatever. And said,
he's ducking. And he's ducking again, blah, blah, blah.
And Eddie Hearn falling back on his promises. And
yeah, I mean, August is around the corner. If there's going to be an August 25th, was it, date with AJ and Big Baby?
That's off the table now.
No.
They should be announcing that.
No, AJ's fighting September at Wembley. But
that's what Miller's talking about with the broken promise.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Sorry,
That's exactly what we're talking about. Because a month ago, 2 months ago, it was Miller in August, September night with either Povetkin or Wilder.
I think you just list possibilities. No, I don't think it was definite.
A month ago, when I tried to tell you guys it was just Eddie Hearn posturing, the world called me a Wilder fanboy. This is the Wilder voice.
Posturing for what?
When we did a spontaneous show about Eddie Hearn announcing that if Wilder doesn't take the offer, Joshua would just simply fight this guy, Baby Miller, in August at the Barclay. Remember, we did a spontaneous show.
Yeah.
Like posturing, bro. It's like, dude, for real.
By the way, if you keep mentioning August 25th, that is the on BoxRec what they've got down for Danny Garcia, Sean Porter as well.
Oh, so, it's not BoxRec. That means it's official.
It does. I gotta find that shit.
At the Barclays.
Get it wrong.
So just for
they've been getting it wrong lately with suspensions and shit. They must got a bug over there.
But that happened. That was a one time thing.
No. It's been a few. I've been getting pictures of other shit
since that day. Because that day I got a bunch of pictures from a bunch of fighters. But since that day I haven't got them any. I haven't got any notifications or pictures. Or I haven't seen any online about that. That day it looked like everyone in like the WBC.
It was
suspended basically.
Yeah,
but just to digress really fast for the heavyweight division, for the fans out there, Joseph Parker versus Brian Jennings, Dylan White versus Pulev or Luis Ortiz, Gerald Miller on the outside looking in, and then AJ Wilder in September allegedly or Povetkin. So that's just the heavyweight landscape right now, and looks good. Like the heavyweight division is carrying boxing right now, and that's kind of weird to think about in 2018. But the heavyweight division is carrying
boxing.
It is carrying the thing about it, the two best fights this year that we cared about were Wilder Ortiz and AJ Parker. Those were the two biggest in terms of metrics.
Yeah, pure metrics. Bro, but like that was split up. How are you going to say that carried boxing? Like that was split up. It wasn't enough. That wouldn't be enough to carry boxing. No way, bro.
I think anyone out there understands what I'm saying. Like, I think it's clear that the heavyweight division is the marquee division. Let me finish my point. The heavyweight division is the marquee division of the sport again. It is.
Yes. I guess. I mean, it's exciting to hear all these names on the same thing. Like, you know, any of those fights that we mentioned today take place are good, but I just don't think that they're carrying boxing, you know.
Well, what division is carrying boxing then?
Failed negotiation that is important to us doesn't count, in my opinion. But, I mean, you know, whatever.
Then what division is carrying boxing?
Boxing is carrying boxing. There's no one division, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think that we like multiple fights.
Well, obviously, but I think
above 147.
Not true. I like 130, 135. I even flirt with 126. You know, Sometimes I go lower. Remember, Rigo's, he's fought as low as 112, 115, 118.
Yeah.
It depends, bro. They can't be just fighting like on fucking white. Ring aprons, bro. Whenever you're fighting on a white ring apron, I change the channel. It's like, you ain't make it.
But quickly, also on about like the heavyweight division, I don't know if we were moving on to this, but Eddie Hearn sort of outlining this DAZN deal a little bit and how that he would maybe work with like Wilder if he didn't want to sign, which I'm pretty sure he wouldn't, but he could take up, you know, on a one fight basis, not actually sign with me, but we can put you on DAZN, pay you more money than you get normally.
What Showtime does, basically.
Yeah. So, you know, he would maybe if Wilder's going to.
Now he's talking business.
Yeah.
This way so, you don't disrupt the landscape and we can still get the good fights that we want. There's no quote unquote politics. You're just buying the right fights. I like that.
And it's like the reverse Heyman because he's the network in a sense. So like he's still buying up fights and sort of like a time buy deal, but the reverse side, the network buying them.
Yeah, and obviously he also outlined that he said when you guys see the DAZN announcement on the end of June or whatever it is just the marketing budget that they've got. Apparently, he said these fighters are going to be put out everywhere, and he was like, oh, I wish I could just tell you more. He was obviously excited about the news, but. So he's going to push whatever fights they put on, whether it's under his own stable or just one-off fights with, say, I don't know, maybe it was Wilder Brazil or something. The market, he's going to push it. Obviously, he's a promoter as well. He wants to sell his event. So I don't know. Hopefully.
This is what he said directly about the subject.
If you commit to me and you get a piece of my heart and you get my commitment, I'm going to make you a star, motherfucker.
Make you a star, motherfucker.
I like the F in there. No T, just an F.
Yeah, mother. Double V.
He's going to give you all of his heart, guys. Okay, just sign to the DAZN for your life, and he will give you your heart. Okay, don't worry about it. It's okay.
Say what you want about Eddie Hearn. He's passionate and a fucking hard worker. He's fucking flying all around the world, watching all of his own fighters. I don't know. Shout out to him, I think. Whether you think he's going to be successful or not, it's fine.
He's not married, right? Can't be married.
Yeah, he's happily a family man, kids.
Married? Wow, he fucking flies like a single man.
But the other day, he was Japan for Jamie McDonnell, Inoue, straight on a plane to LA, meeting up with Mikey Garcia.
Good question, Hassan. We'll let Robert answer that. Mm. He says, who has Eddie Hearn made a star?
Oh, let me think. The one that wanted $50 million. That one, he was his name.
Who's that?
Anthony Joshua.
Okay. Who else?
Well, he's only dabbling. I mean, where's Hassan from?
Wait, hold on. How long has Eddie Hearn even been like in charge of Matchroom in the UK?
Only a few years, to be honest. He just
exactly. So it's like he doesn't have the Bob Arum 60 years plus of experience in having Ali in his stable and Sugar Ray Leonard. That question's loaded. It's a loaded question. Like he has the biggest star. He is one of the biggest stars in the sport right now, and he got it basically the first couple of years.
He made Kell Brook pretty hot. Let's be honest. Yeah. I thought Kell Brook was a sham, and he was ultimately. He proved to me at least. I know people still give him credit, and he's gonna get that from a lot of UK fans because he beat an American in Sean Porter, but Kell Brook is quickly. You know, went up and down.
And then another one like Frotch on like the half, like last.
That's true. He did the Frotch. That was 80,000 right there. He did the Frotch.
Katie Taylor, I think.
Tony Bellew. Yeah. Tony Bellew. He brought him back from the grave. I mean, Adonis knocked him out into retirement. Bellew decided to retire, get fat, and choose different weight classes, and he made a career of it. You know, he gained a little bit of weight. Not negatively, he gained some weight. Went from 175 to cruiserweight. Campaign there, beat Minshew for the WBC, you know, and really catapulted that into a heavyweight career, bro. Like, it's crazy.
And it became a pay-per-view star in a sense in the UK. Like, the David Haye fights have cemented Tony Bellew as a market draw.
Definitely become a pay-per-view star domestically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you say, Hassan's question whether, you know, you're going to have to define star. I mean, over here, there's a ton of his fighters that are big names, big followings on. I know we always bring up Instagram followers. You got like, I don't know, Anthony Fowler, 6-0 fighter, and he's got 130,000 followers on Instagram, things like that. So they're known here big time, definitely. We get a lot of boxing on TV.
Yeah, Josh Kelly.
Josh Kelly, yeah, all these guys. You know, we get next generation.
He's doing a good job, man.
I think so. I mean,
forcing his brand himself. And his fighters on the boxing world.
Here's the thing. I think
to keep himself and his team in the media.
I think people have a hard time saying that Eddie Hearn is the best promoter in the game right now, but he also talks out of his ass and says some bullshit sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
no, he does.
Like every promoter is going to do that, but Eddie is clearly.
What are we basing this trophy of best promoter in the game right now? Like, what are we basing that on?
I think he's the most visible and most vocal promoter in the game.
Oh, because he gives you an interview?
He gives everyone interviews.
Brother, that's because he's young, so he understands that it's give and take. It's working both ways.
Exactly. So when you have a Bob Arum who's,
I don't
think
that makes him the best just because he's so
right in this moment in time. In this moment in time, there's not a promoter that does a better job than Eddie Hearn at promoting. Bob Arum doesn't do a better job. Lou DiBella doesn't do a better job. Kathy Duba doesn't do a better job. Like nobody else does a better job than Eddie Hearn right now. But he still talks about his ass.
You're trying to box promoting into interviews on social media.
That's not the only thing I'm boxing into.
All right, so then how is
– what other promoter has a $120 million budget a year?
I mean, no one has that now. No one has that now. So that automatically makes you the best? So why weren't you saying Heyman was the best last year when he had half a million?
Heyman's not a promoter. Ness, we talked about this.
Half a billion.
Oh, we talked about this. Heyman's not a promoter.
It wouldn't matter, though. The same conversation.
Heyman's the biggest power broker in the sport. I've said that consistently, but he's not a promoter.
I mean, again.
He's never promoting a fight. When has he actively promoted a fight? Never.
This is two times. This is two times that Matt has chosen money. I can see this guy's going to take a big check over integrity. This is in the same show, two times now, you're saying, oh, money. Money, money. He's the best promoter because he got 120 million.
Yes. Yes, that helps.
Well, I would argue that
it's not the thing, but it's one of the things.
No, that was the thing.
Not the thing. You are thinking that. No. I've said numerous things that he has done.
Well, that's what you're saying. You haven't what? And I counted them all. I said you said one thing was interviewing on social media. So I said, oh, so that makes you the fucking best promoter because you sit in front of a camera. You said no. What name another promoter has a $120 million budget? I said nothing. That makes you the best promoter.
Ness, I brought up a litany of things that adds to him being the best promoter in the game that no one can match.
Look, I'm not saying that he is or that he isn't. Let's have that be clear first.
No, you know, We're just having debate. Yeah,
exactly. I just think that, I don't know, you should be doing more than giving an interview and having a big budget.
But again, promoting a fight is being in the media, promoting your fighter, right? So let's say Mayweather. Mayweather is the best self-promoter because he does the media circuit. He goes to ESPN. He goes to late night shows. He does all of that to promote himself, his brand, because he's a self-promoter. Eddie Hearn does the late night circuit, does everything, the YouTube circuit, whatever it needs to promote his fighters. I do not see other promoters doing that at the level that he is, clearly. And then you add on his budget, his deals that he has gotten for his fighters. Yeah, he's one of, if not the best promoter in the game right now. And I would argue he is the best.
I would throw in.
I would say it's a bit premature to make a decision like that when you got guys that
have
been promoting.
How is it premature if I'm only in the context of
Muhammad Ali.
Let me finish, Ness. I'm only talking in the context of right now. Ness, stop cutting me off because people can't hear me.
No, you're cutting me off. You're telling me to shut up what I'm saying so that you can get in more points. That's what's just going on.
Because you're misunderstanding me, Ness. No. You're bringing up Ali.
Remember, I'm saying something. You're upset that I'm bringing up the resume of Bob Arum.
That's not what I'm talking about, Ness. That's not what I'm talking about.
Fine, but you can also wait for me to finish instead of telling me to shut up because I'm cutting you off.
I didn't tell you to shut up. It's okay.
You're insane. Whatever.
But again, Ness, I'm talking about. Let me finish, Ness. You took a break. You took a pause. You stopped your sentence. Let me cut in here. Okay. You talked about Ali, a fighter that happened 60, 50 years ago. I'm talking about right now, 2018. Who is the best in 2018? It ain't Bob Arum.
I don't know. What are we basing it off? Let's base it off actual.
Bring up a counter example and provide your defense of that counter example.
My counter.
Bob Arum. Is it Lou DiBella? Who is it? Kathy Duva?
My example is finances. Since you want to bring up the budget, what company made more money? I would say the one that sold 2 million pay-per-views in America, not a half a million in the UK.
That wasn't
$20. I would say if anybody's in the running for promoter of the year, it would have to be Golden Boy Oscar De La Hoya because they put on successful.
But that wasn't this year.
And international pay-per-views because they have a very, like you brought up Josh Kelly, they have their own version, except he's more fucking known. He has almost a million followers, and that's Ryan Garcia. I mean, there's plenty of arguments for other promoters, but again, let's not stay stuck on that. That was
just to counter that because that you had a couple good points, especially Ryan Garcia. Good point, but bringing up a pay per view that happened over 12 months ago, and you have the only thing in between that is Ryan Garcia. Like, I'm sorry, you're not the best promoter.
Well, I mean, no, it isn't.
Oscar is clearly not the best promoter in the game.
Thing. It's the topic of this show, Bobby. You see what
I said 2018. You brought up a fight in 2017, dog. What are you saying?
I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. It isn't the only thing because this show is titled off the same pay-per-view.
That's great. I understand that, Ness. But it's also not this year. You brought up a fight that did 2 million pay-per-view buys, allegedly, that happened a year ago.
Listen, we're bringing up Canelo versus Triple G, right? Number two.
I understand what you mean, but I'm saying
that is the title of the show. That moves the needle. Mm-hmm. Eddie Hearn and his deal Canelo is the headline.
Canelo moves the needle.
The headline.
Well, because it was a headline when it came out. It was a headline when it was news. What are you talking about, Ness?
Never the full headline, you know.
Yes, it was.
Doubt it.
I make Matt, the headlines. What are you talking
Matt,
about?
Matt. Read out that super chat, and then I can have a fucking go, yeah?
Real Nija Chicks and Rob, thoughts on promoter of the year?
Oh, thank you. I would put it down to, 80,000 at Wembley for Froch Groves. Another 90,000 AJ Klitschko, 75,000 or whatever at Cardiff. I don't know. And I would say purely, getting sound bites taken, whatever he says gets picked up by everyone and it's instantly a boxing scene article. It's instantly this. I just personally watching, whether it's out of more interest, but I don't see Bob Arum dropping loads of news on YouTube videos and from boxing YouTubers. I personally think Eddie is the best at the moment, but like Nez says, he's young, he's traveling the world, he's just telling everyone about every single fighter, whether the Americans are going to know the Anthony Fowlers and stuff like that. But we hear these and he bigs up every single fighter, whether it's a debut, a 1-0, or AJ, I personally think he is currently the best promoter in the world. So there are my thoughts. Thanks for the super.
Call in 1-425-569-5241 or add Nestor Gibbs on Skype for international callers. Absolutely free. Hit that like button. Remember, we have so many shows now that are guaranteed almost every day of the week. Sunday, Thursday, flagships. Monday, Untitled on Patreon, 7 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday is the new UK hour. Every Wednesday at 10 p.m. in the UK, 5 p.m. in the Eastern time. And of course, Standing 8 Count on Patreon on Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, every Friday. The network is growing, 5 shows weekly. So if you can't get your fix for this stuff, there's definitely other content to watch throughout the week if you want to get your podcast fix in.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you a young fella, and he comes from the Magnolia.
And no, talk to us.
Whoa, what's good, man?
What's up, Ben?
What's up, brother?
Explain this to me, man. How the biggest promoter in the game can't make the biggest fight in boxing? Like, how the biggest promoter with a $170 million budget can't pay his fighter $50 million?
Yes.
Like, what is this have in $107 million if you can't pay your fighter top dollar for the biggest fight in boxing? Explain that to me.
I'm gonna let Matt explain it. He the one gave him the trophy.
I know, because and we all know, they know, Eddie and team know that they can make more than $50 million in this fight. So they're going to have it in the UK. They're going to have the rematch in the US, and they're going to make more money than the $50 million because they're going to make Wilder take less. And that's how the A-side works because they're the A-sides, unfortunately. So the fight's still happening. Like, I still think the fight's getting made.
He's doing right by his fighter.
And Aaron said, And Harrison had a long haul that the fight only went $400 million right. And Harrison. And Harrison, a lot of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe nothing that they want to say. Like, how we know you got this big budget and all that? How we know this shit?
Because DAZN told us.
Yo, why can't we get proof of funds, though?
What?
And I said, why we can't get... Look, now, this is what I want to do. Eddie Hearn always doing the video, and he can't lie after lie after lie, right? He do this shit, but we supposed to believe certain things he said at certain times. Like, how we know when to believe this motherfucker?
You don't know when.
And then he contradicted himself right on the next video. Like, he don't even worry about what he said in the past or nothing. Like, he's going to go ahead with a whole other narrative. I never saw, these upper voters don't do, they don't do videos like anymore, but that should have double-edged sword. That should have come back to bounce in the ass, too. It's good promotion, but at the same time, just like what Anthony Johnson said, what he said about the 50 million. That video coming back to bite him in the ass every time he says something else. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm trying to biggest promoter ever put on the biggest fight in boxing history or nothing like that. That's my call, man. I need y'all to explain that to me. And one more thing, that's y'all going to the spin fight?
No. That's chickened out.
I chickened out. Budget's tight, man. Budget's tight.
Ah, man, y'all, boy. I thought I was gonna ready for y'all at this fight, man. I'm ready to catch y'all at another
one. I mean, it ain't over, man. It ain't
over.
It ain't over, man. We never know, man. Things could change at the last second. But I know it's a pleasure.
All right, well, I'm gonna check with y'all. That's my call.
All right.
And also, like, I think it's premature to say like the fight's not happening. Like, they're in negotiations right now.
Yeah, but he's got a major point, Matt. You got a $120 million budget.
In the U.S.
All right. And that's where Wilder wants to fight.
Okay. They're going to spend half their budget on AJ for one fight when they could just make that on the back end in the U.K.
Well, why not spend half your budget when you know it's going to make it back? Remember that?
They have 16 cards to fill out.
Okay, but you're going to make the money back. Don't you get it?
But with DAZN, it's not pay-per-view, so I don't know about that. Like, it's different than a one-time buy on pay-per-view, I think. Like, I think people have a easier time buying a fight that's one time. Let me finish my point. I think people have a much easier time spending $100 for the super fights they care about than spending $20 a month, because that monthly payment scares people. It just does.
Yo, Rob.
Hmm?
That ESPN deal, what is that?
The ESPN deal?
Mm-hmm.
The app, how much is it?
Mm-hmm.
$5.
And who's the first fight for that garbage?
Crawford Horn.
Oh, but there are people willing to give up that $5. You telling me that we ain't gonna pay 50, 60, 70 for fucking Wilder Joshua? Man, get out.
No, we will.
DAZN gets it and wants to do a pay-per-view. We buying it, bro.
I don't know if
they're not doing pay-per-views.
They're not doing pay-per-views. Yes. It's not on TV. There's no DAZN network like that. It would be very different. It's not a streaming service.
You gotta pay $70 to stream it, motherfucker. You can still pay.
It's not through the pay-per-view companies at that point. Let me finish because I don't think you know this. When Mayweather and whoever have pay-per-view on TV, half of that revenue goes to the pay-per-view companies off the rip.
Okay.
Right, listen.
Yeah.
Let me break it down.
You know who's the pay-per-view company? The network. If DAZN is the network, the money goes to them, silly Billy.
I think they wouldn't do that, though.
Oh, you think? Hashtag Matt Stats.
let me tell you some Rob facts.
What do you know, Ness? You know nothing when you're on this show. Come on, fam.
Right, listen. There is no pay-per-view coming from these 16 cards. That 12 of them are going to be regular cards and 4 of them are going to be of pay-per-view standard, but it's still going to be the monthly subscription.
Well, there you go. That's enough. If 4 are pay-per-view standard, that means that they are the model of pay-per-view. They are the level of pay-per-view, except we're giving them to you for free is what they're saying.
Well, for your monthly subscription, yeah. So I don't know. Eddie Hearn's words were 12 of them are going to be absolute monsters, and 4 of them are going to be orgasmic. That was his exact words, and he was
promoter talk.
Yeah, but he broke it down as there's 4 cards are being put aside as pay-per-view standard, so we'll have to see what that's going to be, obviously. But
yo, check this guy out, Daniel Donald. Eddie is trying to see if the YouTube boxing community would be allowed to produce content with DAZN, but Ness keeps messing it up.
Well, hold on, wait. let me clarify that. He thinks that Eddie has this cabal. We're trying to steal all of boxing YouTube, but Ness, only Ness, is screwing up the bag for everyone on boxing YouTube. I like that conspiracy.
We got a friends deal. That's what it is.
Like us, ego, yeah. Sec back. We all got the friends deal.
Yeah, if we all don't say yeah, we can't get the bag. You know, and everybody knows the money's in the bag.
Yo, if that happened, we would all say yes. Let's be honest. We would all have like a meeting.
All the money's in the bag.
I ain't saying yes. Nobody controlling me.
Hey, if Eddie sent us a contract saying, hey, if all of boxing YouTubers, and we can just list them all, like, we all know.
Now, this is the third time, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't I say Matt was going to sell his integrity? He just.
Let me finish the joke. I have a joke.
You can't sell something you haven't got.
I have a joke. Let me finish it. Oh, my God.
He says the check. Call me the bad version of Deadpool where I can't talk and I got the fucking gag around my mouth.
God. Don't even do that. That's just a bad callback. But
no,
like,
cool.
if that happened, all of all the boxing like YouTubers would have like a 5 family meeting, like the mob. It would be interesting. Like I would dig that. You know, sat back with his camcorder right there with his hat, saying like, well, "I got a question. Like, what are we gonna do?"
With no fucking body.
Well,
any radio personalities want smoke. I want smoke. Okay.
All right, Mr. Chimney. Calm down, Mr. Chimney. Because if, you know, unlike Shelley, if Eddie wants a meeting, have coffee and discuss things, I'll gladly go and meet him.
Yeah.
And I won't need 24-hour notice either.
You would fucking sit down and have some fucking shrimp and crimpets.
Y'all worrying about money too much. Why is y'all worrying about what's in my pocket?
Matt, stop worrying about money, Matt. Worry about what you could say.
That's a career.
Gag? You want to be fucking Deadpool from the Whack movie?
No, the thing is, it would be in the contract to be like, I have full liberty. You have to put a fucking disclaimer out before my content that the DAZN does not represent, or I do not represent DAZN. You know, that's what it would be like.
Brandon Schnubbs ain't said nothing snubby about anything on Showtime.
Quick super chat, I reckon. If someone wants to buy Matt's integrity, probably a super chat could do that.
I know, right?
That would be nice. That'd be nice.
Matt gonna be doing standing 8 count questions. Like, I will talk about your favorite fighter
for $10.
$10 per post.
Yes.
Yeah. You're,
I'm probably gonna do that now. That makes perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't expect any from me then.
If you get any love on that, I'm jumping on. $10 a question. Holy shit.
My love will drop right down.
909-682, first time caller.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, first time caller.
All right, let me get it. Play this first time call.
The topic of,
well, we want to get your name and where you're calling from right after I play this first time call intro. Then you just introduce yourself to the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Yeah, hello?
That's your cue. Tell us your name, where you're calling from.
What? Julio Pelayo from San Bernardino, California.
Julio from California. San Bernardino? What is that, Matt?
San Bernardino.
San Bernardino. So talk to us, my friend.
Well, you know, you guys are on the topic of Eddie Hearn being one of the best promoters, right?
No, that's my co-host stretching the truth.
I doubt think he's one of the best promoters, which he even had that $50 million. From Deontay Wilder, you know what I'm saying? So if he would have been such a good promoter, he should have Anthony and Wilder get in the ring when Josh would be, what's it called, Takuma, I think it was. They should have stopped him over that fight, you know. But I doubtly think that he's one of the best. You know what I mean? He's overrated.
Hey, man, I'm with you, brother. I don't think he's overrated. I just think that trying to give him the title of best promoter is ludicrous. But Julio.
Definitely, I agree on that. I mean.
Tell Matt, you ain't put San Bernardino, dog. He ain't from L.A. He's from San Bernardino.
I'm going to look it up how to spell it because I'm an awful speller. I don't want to spell that wrong.
All right, we got you, Julio. We're going to make sure every time you call in, we say you're San Bernardino.
S-A-N.
Go away, Rob.
Well, all right, so where were we with this? Oh, that's where we at. Early show. That's what happens when it's a slow week in boxing. Shout out to the best promoter in the game not giving us any news to talk about.
Well, he did.
YouTube himself didn't do enough interviews.
Well, he had the little we didn't bring it up. We were going to talk about him that he's going to hit up with Charlo after his fight and have a sit down and talk to him about, you know, hooking up.
I did see that. He said he had to let Charlo get done with his fight first.
Yeah, because it came out that the Charlo's had got the offer from Bob and the offer from Eddie. And then on his IG, Jamal put on his IG, shout out to the guy who's offering me the bag. And it was like, oh, which one is it? And then I think they'd done an interview with Michelle Phelps, and they were kind of sort of mocking it all a little bit with Eddie. So Eddie said he spoke to Charlo, and he said, look, get your fight out of the way, and let's sit down, and we'll talk about it. And then he went into talking about how the meeting with Mikey went really well. He was like, what an intelligent guy, this, that, and the other. I told him, you're like one of the best fighters. You could walk down this street and nobody would know you. And he said, and Mikey agreed. He said, I need a promoter. So.
Yeah, whatever that means. I mean.
Well, it means Eddie's the best in the world, right?
I just don't know what that means. I need a promoter. I mean, Daniel Jacobs isn't any more popular since signing to Eddie, man. So my final thoughts are, I'm Jerry Maguire until Eddie shows me the money, I will not believe him.
You won't sell out your soul unless you actually see the bag.
No, I'm speaking metaphorically for these fighters and for you. Like, you're like, oh, he's the best promoter. I'm saying, no, show me the money. Like, show me you're the best promoter. Make the Joshua fight. Show me you're the best promoter. Sign the Charlos and make them stars. Show me that you make people into superstars. Because, listen, while me and Rob were being, I guess, Rob being you a UK guy and me being generous, he hasn't made anyone a superstar. AJ's doing 300,000 views over here. That's not super, okay? Brooke has never been an A-side in the U.S. That's not super. And he lost to Earl and lost to Gennady in bad fashion. Unsuper. Josh Kelly isn't super yet. Fucking Fowler is still foul. Like, please, there's no one ready yet.
Whoa.
What? What? Tell me who's ready right now.
I was just going to say, after Mayweather retired, we're not paying for any American fights either. So,
what? Yes, you did. You paid for Triple G Canelo.
No, it wasn't pay-per-view here.
Really?
That was just on Box Nation, I think. I could double check, but I don't think it was. We had to.
I don't think it was pay per view in the UK.
Really?
Box Nation picked it up, I think.
Wow.
And maybe someone in the chat can confirm that.
Even Pacquiao fights weren't guaranteed on UK pay per view. Like, there's some Pacquiao fights that were on, like, quote unquote, Box Nation or something like that.
Hey, Wayne, I never said Wilder was a superstar. We're talking about Eddie Hearn claiming to be the best promoter. So Wilder ain't got to be a superstar.
No, he ain't got one.
Obsessed with Wilder. Can't wait for that fight. You guys gonna cry just like the Earl's fight.
Can't wait for it to happen in September in the UK.
Can't wait for you to come over and do a live show with a UK audience.
Happen, bro. It don't matter where it's gonna happen. There's the same fucking result. It's the saddest fucking story in life.
But I'll be honest, as a consumer, I kind of want in the UK first. Like, I want that spectacle of a 90,000 seat stadium for the first fight. and then the rematch when Wilder beats him.
They don't even want it in the UK.
Oh, yeah, we do. Come over. Come over. You come jump on the plane with him, Ness. You can come over.
Come over, brother.
Good stuff. I'm going to organize in a rowdy fucking pub somewhere that we could do a live show before the fight.
Well,
that would be lit.
Ness is going to like get in fights with UK fans, guaranteed at that show. Guaranteed.
I'm not getting in. Yo, UK fans are all talk.
Yeah.
Get the scrap.
Drink beer.
Yeah.
Drink beer and yell.
Yeah.
And
you know, that, you know throw, those beers.
And throw absurdly slow drunk punches.
Oh, really? They also throw the glasses those beer are in.
He glossed me.
He glossed me.
Remember that?
Clara everywhere.
It went boxing viral. Ness digging his hole deeper. Whatever. I'm everywhere. I'm never scared. Y'all never fucking there. Like, what y'all talking about? I'm everywhere, every stadium, every fight, taking mad pics. Yo, I've been the Tekashi of fucking boxing reporting. Nigga, I've been talking shit to people. I've been smacking my competitors, and I've been this fucking brashful. Nobody ever gonna do shit. So stop it. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. I was choking niggas in AC bathrooms in Lucas Matisse locker room. Nigga, don't you ever record my shit.
That is such a great story. I think we need to tell that one for Untitled one time. I don't think like the people know.
You need to tell, man. Listen, people know who to do shit to. You don't gotta do shit. People know who to do shit to.
Anyway.
Shout out to Drake for
I walk the streets like a god. Shout out to Charles Martin.
Yeah.
Charles Martin, you talk the illest game.
He's still
that,
in.
That ring walk for what AJ.
Look at Jonathan Fitch. Hearn slapped you up in that interview. Yo, but this is the point, Jonathan. You know me because of that interview. Hater, hater. Matt's still wishing for his Eddie Hearn interview. He can't wait to tangle.
Why you emotional? It's okay.
Saw you. Hearn ain't see me. I ran down on Hearn, you mean. He had backup. Don't forget, it was 3 against 1. Oh, he ain't had backup?
No, it's true, but like it's just funny the way you framed it. Like he brought backup for me.
He brought his boys.
Yo, it sounds like security. It sounded like you almost meant like security. Like he brought security.
I hit security up like, yo, call the tall guy right there. He had the fucking red bottoms on and shit. I'm like, call my man with the red bottoms because we was gated off. So when he came, he's like, oh, I got to do a couple of things. I'm like, Eddie, you know I want my time. He's like, nah, I got you. So I let everybody fucking go. I forgot who was in front of me, man. I'm drawing a blank. The last person, I'm like, Jesus. I tapped him like, bruh, like, are you ever going to stop? But yeah, it was Matthew Macklin and someone else was there helping.
Dimitri.
Dimitri. Dimitri, I want Big Baby Miller to get the Anthony Joshua shot, Salida. But no. The blind, we're going to call the UK fans Resident Evil from now on. You know, the blind UK fans like, no, they don't do this.
I seem to remember that you turned to them as if like, yeah, back me up, fellas.
Yeah, we're going
to
help you out.
Back me up. Tell Eddie.
They did it.
And they were like, nah.
I did turn to them. The thing is that I didn't expect for them to be on the payroll. Let me see. Put on payroll here.
And shout out to me using your camera last and turning the autofocus off and you forget to turn the autofocus back on. So all your interviews that day are out of focus.
I know. They were horrible. They were horrible. Horrible. Yo, you know what? I ain't even gonna say.
What, Ness? What's with the dead air? Come on.
I ain't even gonna fucking say it, yo. I'm your host, Ness GTO. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at Ness GTO. And all I'm saying is send a fucking contract, man. Send a contract.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about now. So you just...
I mean, yo, this for my man Dre's world. Tell him send a contract.
But yes, final thoughts. Canelo Triple G. I don't know if we're going to get it. I think it's more likely that we're going to get AJ versus Wilder instead of Canelo Triple G. But Noss opinion. Yes, Ness, you want to say something from the comment section that's funny? Or
Carlton Palmer. Eddie went to Ness' hometown and chefed him up. Chefed him up. That must be some UK shit. You must be from Sheffield.
And I thought my jokes were bad.
Yo. Anyways, digressing. Final thoughts. Shout out to all the non-boxing this weekend. Shout out to Drake versus Pusha T being the biggest fight this week. But yeah, be back obviously tomorrow, Untitled, 7 p.m. Eastern on patreon.com/TheBoxingBoys. I'm Matt Hunter. You can find me at Matt Hunter TBV on all platforms. Mixed Combat Radio on all platforms as well for my MMA podcast. Peace.
I think we're going to get both fights this year, AJ Wilder and Triple G. Hopefully Chivas can stretch the budget. I believe that's the week before my birthday, so that'd be nice. Yeah, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Rob UK Rob TBV. Share the show, hit the thumbs up, support any way you can.
See, Georgie, you the type of nigga to respect the shooter. Actually, the dude that got shot, you duck sauce ass. You've been ducking me since day one. Let it be known here that you had a flight paid to New York City from Boston and you duck, okay? Then numerous other events, you duck. So he gonna say Ness ain't say shit to AB. First of all, how I ain't say shit to AB when I'm the one that got him to say what he said? If I don't tell him he is not pound for pound, what no other reporter had the balls to say, he doesn't call me a bitch. You see, you get it, right? Right? Like, I come for niggas.
Yo,
I ain't trying to be their fucking friend. I ain't all in their videos, happy, singing, and taking flicks.
Georgie Pope. That's
your favorite fucking YouTubers out there that's out here doing this shit because they got a thumb in their butt. All right? I don't do none of that shit. I don't sing and dance for no fucking body.
I want to spill some tea because I found the message from Andre that you're talking about.
You don't want to spill no tea.
And I'm just saying is that was mentioned in person once.
And
one party did not want that smoke.
And it ain't fucking me. Because I'm everywhere.
I'm just saying, everywhere.
You never there. I'm never fucking scared.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you want to hear that story, because we can definitely tell that one untitled tomorrow, patreon.com/TheBoxingBoys, Ness versus a certain YouTuber that was eventually not happening because somebody didn't want that free smoke.
Any of you radio personalities think you want smoke? Call me Mr. Chimney. I want smoke.
Yo, Wayne is a fucking clown. He's like, you ain't had that same energy in front of Eddie Hearn. What the fuck? Yo, you want me to choke Eddie? Like, what's wrong with you, man?
Yes.
Yo, some of you guys are crazy, man. I swear. Look at the other one. Look at the other one. Stumbling and mumbling when Hearn stepped to him. What the fuck? they want me to walk around with a shank versus Hearn. Yo, y'all crazy, man. That's hilarious.
You'll get another one day, Ness.
Oh my God, Fat Apples, you're a fucking weirdo, bro.
hey, Fat Apples is a loyal listener of UK Hour, so he's we're gonna put up with it.
Yeah, respect.
Yo, don't be hating that I'm Metro, bro. I got more pussy than you got years, punk.
Yeah, trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers,
huh? I probably done slept with you. I could have rhymed it with sister, but I don't want to be disrespectful. I got to go, man. This show's getting real graphic at the end. I'm telling you. If you want smoke. Nah, no overtime. We do that tomorrow, and it's called Untitled. We actually got our new official
yes.
logo. And so don't forget, 7 p.m. Eastern, mañana, for Untitled. Titled only on Patreon. Plus, we may have something for you at 5 o'clock on Monday. It just depends on what good news is out there. I guess we all gave our Twitter finger handle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're just
adios. Bye.
Adios.
Goodbye.
Kudos. Ha 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 ha